I used to do a bush when I was like in high school to like make my friends laugh.
To get laid, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be getting laid for another 8 years.
You sound just like our president.
But I was pretty, I was very into like eyebrow calisthenics. Mm. So like being able to like do this where it goes up in the mm-hmm. middle mm-hmm. is like a very George sure. Bush
yeah.
kind of thing.
Sure. Shapurzardly, what did he order? That shellfish? Boy, what a character. He got really sick. Sam, what did you do in high school? Did you just sit
to
there
try to make people laugh?
Grinning and making fun of other people's George Bush?
No, I did Clinton. Impressions. I didn't quite catch up.
You played the saxophone?
Yeah. I'd go, remember...
Joe's practicing eyebrow NBA calisthenics jam. On the podcast. I can, do it into I can, the microphone, Joe.
I can, let me...
That's good audio. that's my bush. That's what I always said.
I invented that
catchphrase to make my friends laugh.
Holy shit. Was that your bush?
Yeah.
That was yours from the TV.
I'd say that's my bush.
My bush was I moved to the United States during the reign of Bush Sr.
Mm.
Before I had learned to hate. You know, I was like, oh, he's our leader. He makes us sing a song at baseball.
Not gonna do it. Not gonna do it.
No mayor taxes.
Wouldn't be prudent.
Yeah, he couldn't eat broccoli. The fool.
Is that a thing really of like HW?
He choked on broccoli at like a Chinese estate dinner.
Oh, is this the Japanese thing where he puked on the like ambassador or something?
Yeah,
yeah. You just threw up on a guy.
Well, it was also he like choked on broccoli or something. No, I'm conflating choked on a pretzel with ate bad broccoli. He blamed the puking on bad broccoli that he ate. Because later there's a great soundbite of him going, I'm not going to eat any more broccoli. And it's it's a delight to hear. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fight Island, the podcast about fictional fights in the very real island where they take place. My name is Jordan Dahl.
I'm Sam Wiles.
And joining us this week, friend of the pod, friend with the bod, Joe Quazala's here.
Oh, my goodness.
He brought that bod for fighting.
Thank you so much. Usually people don't acknowledge my physical attributes on a podcast because the listener can't appreciate it. But I thank you so much for bringing that up. I've been working on my body, and it is in peak form specifically for this podcast. So I'm excited to be here.
You did come in one of those small Speedos with just oily, I would say.
Yeah, and I did that. I mean, this isn't something people usually do on like a Zoom call, but I made sure you could see my full body.
Sure.
I like backed up so that you could see head to toe.
You started in full, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I thought that was very important.
Folks, here's the key. Put your laptop on one side of the room. Then get on the other side of the room, covered in oil.
Take a little jog.
You can hear it on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. And slide into the pod. You really got to attack it. Joe, thank you so much for coming back to the pod, man.
Absolutely.
How are you doing? Just up top,
we
haven't talked in a while. How are things? Let's knock the rust off.
Listen, I'm doing great. I tried something called Starburst Duos today, which is a candy that it's got two flavors happening at once.
Hell yeah.
One of them was blue raspberry lemonade, which was really nice.
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
I'm
so that's
that.
My big personal update.
I had a new candy.
I
feel like I've tried those stunt candies before, and very few of them have ever stuck. The one that I think stuck for me was a Sour Patch Kids watermelon. You ever had those?
Where
watermelon
it's just
slouses?
It's just watermelon flavor.
Yeah,
for sure. That's I've done that. What did I did Sour Patch jelly beans recently.
Ooh,
good, pretty good.
Good
but
pull.
It felt seasonal. You know, it's like Easter comes and goes. You try your weird little jelly beans and your eggs, and then you move on with your life.
Now, here's the thing. Other friend of the pod, friend without a bod, the disembodied Danny Palumbo.
Yes, he's a head in a jar.
He's a head in a jar.
Still crushing it around.
And the jar is filled with marinara. Mm-hmm. He says that... Easter candy is far superior to Halloween candy. He thinks it's the best candy of the year.
You know, he and I actually had this conversation on his podcast.
Interesting.
Recently. And, you know, I like his argument because Halloween candy is just candy.
Yeah, and it's and a lot of the time it's like kind of a bullshit reason for shit like circus peanuts to rear their ugly head.
Yeah, it's like, too wide. It's way too wide of a net. You know, the only thing that's like seasonal to Halloween or to autumn in the candy realm is candy corn, which I like, but you know, is a divisive candy.
Yeah, it's a delicacy. It's kind of the My Name is Earl of candies, really, in a lot of ways.
But what Easter really has a stronghold on a lot of very specific stuff, whether it's a chocolate bunny or like anything involving an egg. The Cadbury specifically is like, I think, a real treat.
Yeah, absolutely.
And jelly beans also.
You'll see a lot more candies that are crafted specifically for Easter, you know, that are coming around. And also, I had a full-on just like Godiva chocolate bunny recently, and there is no more delightful primal feeling than murdering one of those and just
It's the closest you're going to get to like being a wild dog just grabbing a hare that's in the, Father Farmer's field and just ripping it to shreds and making sure it doesn't get to the precious crops.
You left the wrapper on your front step.
Yeah.
You got everyone in your apartment a little
bit. It's a warning. I had one, and my wonderful girlfriend had a second one, and she just like left it on the table. She was like, I'll get around to it. And it was like, having a fucking tiger in the house, you know, like I was aware of it everywhere I went. Mm-hmm. Just like, so when are you going to eat that thing?
Kinda,
so it's
kind of said you were going to get to it. And here we are a few days later. It kind of feels like there's been no progress done. You just had the ears. It's just hanging out bald.
It's kind of waking me up at night is all. I think about it a lot. And
I talked to the bunny last night. I really think I should eat it.
The bunny visited me again in the night.
You know, those go bad. They go bad and they're really expensive. And
spoil.
They cost a lot to make. Maybe get on that. You know, palm oil, etc. Yeah. This is a blood rabbit. So eventually she was like, oh, you can eat it. And I fully smashed its head in my hand.
It's already fully down your throat, like whole, before she's done saying that.
Well, I can do what?
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll have it.
Last Easter candy note, I think the egg also is my preferred Reese's anything, which Easter cornered a market on a new product, like also, a new version of a thing.
Also, the Twix egg is very good, but the Cadbury cream egg is a disgusting torture device.
You know what? If you don't like a Cadbury cream egg, you might enjoy a Cadbury caramel egg.
Interesting.
It's similar delivery. It's the exact same delivery service, but instead, egg, like spherical egg, as opposed to like the Reese's egg is more of a flat egg.
Right. True.
But the
candy,
you know,
think egg should be standard candy shape. What are we doing with bar? Just go to egg. Universal
well,
egg.
That's what makes Easter so special. I had an Oreo egg.
The Oreo egg is incredible. Incredible?
there's two types of Oreo egg. There's like the mini thing, and it's like solid. It's basically just like a Hershey's cookies and cream, but it's like in a little, but then I also had it and it's like a Cadbury egg where it has a chocolate shell and then you like into it inside. It has cookies and cream, filling.
Fuck Easter. Come back. Easter. I wasn't done. I wasn't done.
Kill God again.
Surely there's, Greek Jesus died somewhat late. Maybe we'll get the Greek versions, the Orthodox, of some of these candies.
Yeah.
It's the Oreo egg, but there's Jesus like Manzoukas. A weird slash over the O. Okay. Despite what we've been talking about, we're not fighting Easter deities or candies.
Sadly.
This time, we're going to be fighting must-see TV. This is a fight of must-see TV. We're going to be doing full shows versus full shows, right? It's like kind of a rumble situation. The years in question are, Sam?
It is the must-see TV block defined by Wikipedia, which has a handy color chart if you're like a huge dork.
Oh, yeah.
Go on that Wikipedia and check out what the lineups were for fall and spring and winter of must-see TV from 1993 to 2006. That's the era we're going.
Right there.
93 to 06.
The summer of love, baby.
Now, I have a question. Are we including the 10 p.m. slot, which is traditionally a drama?
I thought we would talk about that on air.
I think, because we're ER about
is
it
for almost the whole thing. So it's like, do we consider ER?
I am inclined to say, yeah, it's part of must see TV.
It is. It's. Yeah. I mean, back at when must see TV was so popular,
yeah,
ER was like a pillar. It's like huge. It was a tent pole. And
even if you weren't watching it, a lot of people were, you know.
And even though people think of must see TV, they immediately think the comedies on NBC on Thursdays. Sure. I think you do have to consider that 10 p.m. slot.
ER was so consistently in it the entire time that you don't think of it then. Like if there had been a bunch of dramas that wheeled in and out, it's like ER just was it. True. And there was no other competition.
Okay, so this is the way this is going to go down for any Joe heads coming to the show here. We do three rounds. We do a lightweight round, a middleweight round, a heavyweight round. It's video game rules, so anything goes. Old people can fight gay people. Men can fight women. Dogs can fight babies. Whatever needs to happen. The island craves justice. There must be a winner. We'll talk about who will be in the fights. We'll talk about strengths and weaknesses. We'll ultimately vote on each round and decide who wins out of must-see TV. So, first up, lightweight competitors, combatants for must-see TV. What makes a lightweight competitor, and which ones are we picking here?
And there are two per round?
Yes, two per round. I mean, you know, there have been strange circumstances where Screech came in through the skylight or something.
Understood. And just say no more.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he got into some.
I understood that shorthand instantly.
Yeah.
So I think your lightweights coming in would be two shows that were on and off the must see TV lineup. They were NBC shows that occasionally, like almost like if there was a slot open, they would take it, but they didn't have to be on it. They existed on other nights throughout their careers. And okay. I think that is Just Shoot Me and Frasier.
Yeah. Frasier is a little heavier weight to me.
Heaters but
I think Just Shoot Me.
See, that's true. I think Frasier is heavier too. I think it's medium, if not heavy.
You would think, but then you got to consider who else is going to be taking up those slots.
That's
above.
True.
And I think because Frasier had a lot of seasons not on Thursday, that is what makes it lighter.
Show. What yeah. about, holy shit, look at this. What about, okay, I love Just Shoot Me because as much as I'm a, hey, look, Elliot for life, you know, Elliot and Maya, I think they got together. That's what my headcanon
remember
says.
That big controversy where people are like, are you team Elliot or team
it's
Maya?
It's so funny. casually talking about Just Shoot Me makes you sound insane.
Man, Finch, yeah. What a character, huh?
It sounds like you are like mocking us.
What about...
Oh man!
Anyone ever trying to earnestly talk about about Just Shoot Me sounds like an asshole just by merit.
Yeah, right. You sound like you live in a different universe than the rest.
It was
of
also Brian Posehn, a breakout role for Brian Posehn.
There was a decent amount of like that alternative comedy crossover because like David Cross had an appearance or two.
Yeah, yeah.
Just Shoot Me. There's like Mr. Show like. Crossover,
Shades of Show.
Yeah, it's got its appeal to your more discerning comedy fans.
Absolutely.
What about a lightweight Suddenly Susan?
Ooh,
that feels like the prime lightweight show to me because it lasted longer than say Daddy-O.
it wasn't quite
Wings,
but it was also only on Must See TV for one season.
What is Daddy-O? Okay.
Daddy-O, I believe Michael there's.
Joe, go ahead.
I was going to say, I believe there's a baby involved, right?
What?
Like Michael Chiklis is the head of a
Michael
household.
Michael Chiklis has a baby.
Oh, here we go.
He has a baby. He's the titular daddy-o.
He's the daddy-o. Mm-hmm. Holy shit. There's these deep cuts. Coupling? Do you guys remember Coupling?
It was a British adaptation.
A remake. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because Coupling was huge in the UK.
Okay, what about, I would like to, Coupling was huge, and I've watched a lot of it, the UK version, but I don't know about the American version.
And the, like Coupling's, it was such a bomb and such a disaster that it really set The Office up to be a failure too. And people were really scared because we had a few adaptations of UK shows in America that were dog shit. And The Office came at a time where it was like, I don't know that we can do this or if this is going to be okay.
Truly. And then they fucking, as we know, started that religion that will engulf us all.
Mm-hmm. Can I make a suggestion? Just Shoot Me feels almost like a middleweight to me because it did have
interesting.
A good
run. Okay.
Where, like, I think a lightweight, also the show I thought was suddenly Susan in my head, which is Veronica's Closet.
Fair. Yeah, it's there's the filler slot in must-see TV, because like there are some obvious pillars in must-see TV, but yeah, like the filler slots often, there was an era where it was like, hey, remember this actress who used to be in movies?
She's got a sitcom now. For sure. Like, she lives with us now. Yeah.
Caroline in the City was one. Veronica's Closet.
Caroline in the City had a good run.
Caroline in the City, I loved. Was Andy Dick in Caroline in the City?
He was
no,
on
just
Drea.
The guy that looked like a handsome Andy Dick.
Okay.
There's a handsome Andy Dick, and it was like he was clearly gay, and then they made her love interest.
Oh, I know. Season. I know who you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah.
She was in the City, guys.
What are you forgetting?
I believe she wrote a cat. She made a Kathy type comic strip.
She made a Kathy type comic strip, right? Called Caroline in the City. Okay, yeah. I'm seconding Caroline in the City as a lightweight combatant. Okay,
but fellas, like I'm telling you, we're gonna. I mean, like, I guess does that
Do
mean there
think?
Are like heavyweights that we have to ignore? Like,
okay. See, this is the thing. I think
I'm gonna take Joe's advice here.
I think Joe.
All I'm saying is looking at what we have. I mean, like, do we want to ignore huge shows?
No, you're right. Every so often you look at the Wikipedia page like it's the gigantic inbox of like an office you work at, and mm-hmm. it's like, okay, he's seeing something that we don't, which we need to trust this. I do like, I definitely like,
what if it's Caroline in the City versus Just Shoot Me?
I love
kind
that.
Of cosmopolitan shows that had long runs.
My other thing is like Caroline in the City did not have a long run, and Caroline in the City was only on for a must-see TV for a season. So I don't think that is spiritually
wild. What
as
about
much.
The okay. shortest lived show that everybody kind of knows, The Single Guy?
The Single Guy is a wild show that I revisited an episode recently. And I don't even know if I'll be able to articulate just how crazy it is. The first thing I'll say is that it's like, you know, it wants to be, it's like a mixture of Friends and Seinfeld. They mm-hmm. want, they're like trying to find that sweet spot of just like, well, it worked for them. Let's just have a bunch of young-ish people hang out and complain about stuff.
Yeah.
And also, why not have one of their buddies be a building's doorman, Ernest Borgnine. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And he is just hanging out in a full, like, 1960s doorman outfit that's, like, bright red. And there'll just be scenes where they're all just being like, oh, I'm trying to date this woman, but she wants to pay for the check. And, like, then Ernest will just be, like, sitting next to them, smiling, and he won't be saying anything.
It would be like if they recast. It'd be like if they recast Kramer on Seinfeld with Boris Karloff.
It's really fascinating. And
I want to go home.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds fun. I'm Ernest.
What's that? You're going to a discotheque? Okay, kids. Oh no, my hot pills. Sam, lock it in. What are our lightweight combatants here? What do you think,
Joe? What do you?
So I think it's got to be Just Shoot Me and Frasier.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm down.
Let's lock it in. All right, lightweight. Lightweight must see TV bout. Who would win in a fight between Just Shoot Me and Frasier? These are both shows that are near and dear to my heart. I'm gonna try to put that aside and pick a winner. My gut says, you know, Frasier, he's going to mop the floor with these punks. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, also, Frasier, they've got an animal on their side. They have a literal animal with Eddie, which I think is going to really benefit them quite a bit.
Not to mention in later seasons, Baby, which was a cockatiel owned by Niles that was known to be aggressive.
Irascible.
Irascible, if you will. The irascible Baby.
So if they're almost kind of matching up like who guards who in basketball, but it's fighting, It's uh-huh. like if you pit the two old guys, mm-hmm. I'm taking dad every time.
taking Mahoney?
Yeah, I'm taking really? Mahoney.
Really?
Yeah, Mahoney versus George Segal. It's gonna
be he's a former cop.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but that's the thing. He's out of the game. He took a bullet in the hip.
He's got a cane. He's you know, impaired.
He's fierier.
He does.
But
he's
definitely
impaired.
Is fiery. But George Segal is I think feisty.
I think George Segal would play dirty. He'd be like, yeah. I'll get you with a letter opener, you punk. You
pulls
know?
Out a banjo. George Segal liked to do that. he's part of that generation that was like, I should play banjo in addition to being an actor.
Yeah. Let's put on Martin Mull's regular music album.
So that's, I mean, that's distracting. I feel like almost Mahoney might go in overconfident.
That's distracting. Just like, honestly, have you ever tried to fight someone playing a banjo? It's a cloud of confusion. Trying to get through that music.
Do I punch the banjo? What do you do?
I feel like
Segal. Is the banjo the problem?
Segal is like almost an X factor in a way that Mahoney might go in too confident, and then Segal might eke it out.
I think at the end of the day, Segal is more likely to play dirty, whereas what is the dad from Frasier's name? This is killing me.
Marty Crane.
Yes, of course. R.I.P. He was a cop and he knows how to fight and he knows how to duck and roll and he's got that cane. And I think that he would, I think Segal strikes me as the type of guy who's going to project his punches, maybe, you know, telegram it.
Too proud of him.
Yeah. They call this one the old Lily Hammer or whatever.
And meanwhile, Marty's just fucking braining him with his cane.
Exactly. lining up a real memory wiper with this cane. I think
another matchup is it's David Spade v
Eddie
Niles. I mean, that's
no, you're right. It's absolutely the thin-haired blonde guys.
Truly the battle of the waifs, the waifish men.
The wispy haired.
Spade's character is more of a scrapper than Niles. I give it to Spade. I give it to Finch.
But here's the thing. Every so often, Niles is like...
Gets in a row?
No, he has these weird moments of pure cat-like grace where he does. He wins a fight in one of them. He's really good at darts, weirdly. Mm-hmm. He's really good at yoga. In one of them, they find out that he's like incredibly limber and he's a really good shot. He accidentally joins a militia in one of the episodes.
Frasier rules. But here's the thing about that Frasier, I think its disadvantage is that Frasier at its core is a farce. So these, you know, the cast of Frasier is going to be like slipping on stuff. They're going to be fumbling a lot. Like
funnier when Frasier.
All those characters, it's going to be fails. Madcap, and that's you're not right. going to be good in like in terms of especially precision and like trying to win a fight.
Right. In a lot of ways, Just Shoot Me is about, you know, eking out the win kind of underdog style, whereas Frasier is about look at this horse's ass. Look what he's done now. You know?
Yeah. Like, they had everything going for them, and Frasier, you fool. Frasier, you went into confident. You ruined the roast.
Niles, you rented a peacock, you damn fool.
Now, I think if we're talking about the Just Shoot Me cast, I think they're the person who's kind of the quarterback of the team, the person who is probably going to be the strongest fighter is Wendy Malick.
As
Nina Van Horn.
Okay. See, Nina's coming in. Yes. Nina's coming in, bringing that Twiggy from the 70s energy. She's seen some shit. She's got a gun in her purse and sometimes confuses it with the actual lighter and shoots the end of her cigarette off.
She is going to, first off, she is going to trick Frasier. She's
Absolutely.
Going to tell Frasier, you know, something sexual and he's going to get flustered.
Meet me in the supply closet, big fella. And she can't get enough of Crane. and then she'll like lock him in the supply closet. Frasier's out instantly.
I also think Nina just decimates like Daphne and Roz. It's like, they're not fighters. They're not.
Not
mental fighters. Like,
see,
she's going to hurt Daphne's feelings so bad. Instantly.
Here's the thing. I think Nina decimates Daphne and then Roz decimates Nina.
Okay.
I think Roz will hit you with a 2x4.
Roz does seem like a bit of a tough guy, I guess.
Yeah, Roz doesn't fuck around.
Yeah.
Roz gets it done.
Roz gets it done. She gets it done. And then she's at the bar after this, you know, trawling for strange.
If we have, like, again, setting, like, who's guarding who, like, that leaves Frasier, like, the battle of the balding guys, Frasier and
truly,
and
yeah,
Enrico,
that's really uneven.
Cole and Tony, and Frasier decimates Enrico.
Oh, yeah. That's true. And it would be hilarious, too.
Like, he's like a bigger guy, even. Oh. He's clearly more aggressive. Like,
Frasier's been
a little wine drunk.
Yeah. Frasier's been training for weeks in, like, Turkish oil wrestling or something. He's got, like, a proprietary blend of, like, oh, it's lavender oil. It makes me a beast in the ring.
Ooh, and then he becomes Beast from X-Men.
And then he becomes Beast from X-Men, exactly.
Because he has that power. I've seen it in the movies.
That is true.
Then Enrico Colantoni calls on his other weird sci-fi character, which is just like the guy who dies from Galaxy Quest.
Galaxy Quest, that's right. They both turn into their sci-fi alter egos, and Enrico's
is like
a downgrade almost. And
he's so funny in Galaxy Quest, though, but he is definitely a guy who has a brain injury. I'm going to lock one in. I got to vote. I'm ready. I think, oh boy, here's the thing. The X factor for Just Shoot Me is, and always has been, Maya. Maya is the main character. Maya is the, you want her to win more than you want Frasier to win. You want Frasier to learn something. And I think that for this fight to be as entertaining as possible, it takes place at like a classic Crane dinner party. You know, he's trying to chat up the squad from, what is it, Blush Magazine. He's
again sounding insane talking about Just Shoot Me, just saying the normal things that happen on the show.
sure. And then the fight island hits, you know, and they're whisked away to the island. And boy, geez, this is tough. I thought I had a vote, but I don't. I'm locking it in for Frasier. My gut says Frasier. I think Frasier can carry this show for 7 seasons at least, and maybe an extension in 2021.
Jordan, I'll vote in opposite. I'm going to vote in opposition and let Joe be the tiebreaker. I think it's Just Shoot Me for me because it's more of a must-see TV show anyway, and that gives it a little more inherent strength.
It is, and kind then of, yeah,
it's. It's a cast of, like, it had more like weirdos and freaks. Like, it had more like Brian Posehn's, and like there were like, mm-hmm. I remember there being like a junior Brian Posehn character when Brian Posehn's character was on too many episodes. They're like an even weirder guy.
Really?
I just think it's more of like a commentary on Frasier's like fanciness. It's like the Just Shoot Me has like a lot of like scrappers, like a lot of like mean people too. Mm-hmm. Like they have like a harsher vibe than Frasier.
It is,
and I just think that wins in a fight.
It is definitely a lot more of this era, and it is more of a sleeper hit. People would underestimate Just Shoot Me and the squad. You know, they underestimated them every Tuesday for 4 years.
Yeah,
you know, stuck around is Spade too. I mean, like, Kelsey Grammer's got longevity, so is Spade. Spade's like this a cockroach.
It's true. Now, yeah, Just Shoot Me went on for 7 seasons. But Frasier went on for 11. And, you know, when I really think about it, you know, you said it, if for Just Shoot Me, it comes down to Maya. And when I think about that, I think my response is, who is Maya? That's not like, you almost forget, like, if Maya is the lead character, at every cast photo of Just Shoot Me and you're like, oh, her? She's not in the middle. Like, the
they should have called it Maya in the Middle.
The secondary characters, the supporting cast of Just Shoot Me is its strength, but at its core, it has a real big weak spot. Whereas the Frasier has a great supporting cast and then also is extremely strong at its core, which is why I think Frasier takes it.
Ding, ding, ding. Frasier takes it. You're right. And ultimately, Frasier as a character is so strong that he makes us forget what a piece of shit Kelsey Grammer is.
Yeah, and, that's very much a telling piece of information there.
You're right. She kind of, you know, she'll always have a place in my heart for those eyebrows and her spunky attitude. But no Frasia is she.
Who is Maya?
Who is Maya?
Fantastic argument.
I think that's really what it's got to come down to.
Ding, ding, ding. Frasia takes it. All right. Middleweight combatants.
Union
LCTV.
Square.
No. Union Square. What the fuck is that?
Yeah. Good morning, Miami. So I have my picks for middleweight.
All right, let's hear them.
I think it's got to be ER and Will and Grace.
Oof, duh. Now, Will and Grace, boy, whew, you might have nailed it. Will and Grace was, I think, the defining factor where people looked up and they were like, we're in the middle of must-see TV and have been for some time now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Will and Grace is to me so connected to must-see TV that when it was that night was already starting to shift into other types of programming. You get The Office in the last season of Will and Grace. You get My Name is Earl in the last season of Will and Grace. But as soon as Will and Grace is gone, it's no longer must-see TV.
And Will and Grace was like, you know, it didn't have the staying, but this is a perfect middleweight because it didn't necessarily have the staying power of some of these other shows, but it fully embodied the spirit of must-see TV.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really shouldered the entire, like, that vibe that they were going for. Like, I've seen all of 3 episodes of Will and Grace, and I know a lot of the story.
It's a really important part of that whole, of that arc, and it really feels like this is the last one. This is the one that works. And it's like a lot of those shows were, like, directed by the same guy. It was Jim Burrows, like, his like kind of style defined like NBC comedies from like Cheers to Friends to
Veronica's Closet. What a great pull.
Here's a little story about Veronica's Closet very quickly that I heard like secondhand, which was at a rap party for one of the seasons of Veronica's Closet. Kirstie Alley got as gifts for everyone in the crew and cast parakeets.
Fuck yeah, she's so crazy.
And everyone was like at this party being like, what am I going to do with this fucking bird in this cage? There's like 1,000 of them.
Make it live? I don't even know if this thing's going to survive the night. That's insane. Take them.
You know, that's, again, I heard it secondhand. Maybe it's one of those like old Hollywood myths, but I feel like it's true.
But it doesn't feel like a long walk, yeah.
No, I like very believable.
She's bonkers.
Yeah. Very believable.
We can all eat them right here.
Okay.
I brought a sheet to go over your head.
I brought parakeets for us all to crush and feel powerful. Okay, Kirstie.
Great.
Terrifying.
Will and Grace for ZR is a great matchup. Just to throw out some other possibilities real quick. Mad About You is one of the shows I think about.
Bringing me back to you.
Yeah, that's another one where it was like it was on must-see TV for a few, like 2 seasons.
They dicked it around, yeah.
Yeah, so it wasn't as much of a tent pole, but it's squarely in that zone.
I think this is pretty good. I don't know a ton about ER. I know it's, you know, I know the E stands for emergency and the R stands for room.
And that's a great start.
Clooney,
absolutely. There. Clooney was there. I watched a few episodes of ER recently. And it's really great. It's like very, very watchable.
I mean, people loved it. This was like main course shit for fun.
Yes.
I mean, look at how many fucking years this was on.
And it didn't feel dated when I was watching it, you know, I was watching episodes from like 94, 95.
And they've done like reboots recently, right? They did like a Where Are They Now kind of episode.
Oh, I have no idea. I mean, a lot of that stuff happened during the pandemic where
look
there were
this.
These
this
like shoddily
crazy.
Put together Zoom, like, hey, look, everybody, it's Friday Night Lights. And you're like, no, it's not.
Yeah, they're making Anthony Edwards recreate surgery at his house.
ER was running from 95 through 2009.
94. It debuted in 94. Fuck yeah, so ER also was known for having, even in the beginning, a sprawling cast. And that's going to be one of its assets here is that it just has a million people when you go from the cast to the recurring to there's just so many people because that show is moving around a lot in the hospital. You're at surgery and then you go to someone who's talking to, you know, a patient that they need to, you know, do this. And then you go to the drama that's happening at the desk and then you go, someone's coming in. We need to clear the hallway. Like it's just, it moves so fast and there's so many cast members and so many people went through it too. And this, they had quite a solid record in terms of guest actors too. So, you know, you can call upon them as well, which I think is going to be,
I love it. Let's lock it in. I think middleweight question before us, who would win in a fight between ER and Will and Grace?
So I think ER, because the thing is like, they're a horde, right? There's so many cast members. It's massive. It's operating like the movie.
Now, are we saying like core cast here?
I think, yeah, but you can't discount.
There's so much core cast.
You can't, there is so much core cast and you can't discount and you, or you can't count out the supporting, like that they could be called upon at any moment. Like it's,
but I would say that these cast members are by no means fighters. These are physicians.
They're healers.
Healers. I mean, they could definitely keep one another up. You know, if somebody gets popped in the nose by, what's her name?
By Megan Mullally.
Megan Mullally, yes.
By Jack or Karen.
And yes, she is like, she alone is going to be cutting through swaths of
doctors. A Tasmanian devil.
They are going to be able to get other doctors up. Sure. Oh, that's an orbital fracture. Oh, that's a lipstick in your cerebellum, you know? But you can only do that so fast.
Jack and Karen are going to be like throwing down.
The energy that those two are bringing is kind of like, did you ever, like almost like Wonder Twins style. Like if they're both in the same room, them together is so much weirder and more dangerous than them apart. And they are not only in this fight, like at the front of the fight, I think.
And they are, and they're also connected. Like that's what Will and Grace has as an asset is like the four of them are very, very tight. So like they're aware of what the other person is doing. Whereas ER, it's going to be sprawling and, you know, they're working on their own shit and they don't know what's going on over there with Eric McCormick. Just, you know,
great skulls. Actors, but you were never like perfect chemistry. It's like Will and Grace. It's like,
and interesting. Cause it's also, it's difficult to, cultivate that kind of chemistry with that big of a cast. You got a big cast.
They do it. You know.
Yeah.
But it's like it's not as tightly knit. But like, let's go through some of the like big names we're working with on ER. Got Clooney. Like
Clooney,
that alone is doing a lot of work.
The crater that George Clooney left in Hollywood is bigger than anyone on either show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Clooney and the sheer power that Clooney has.
Yes.
But he bailed at some point. Where Will and Grace,
he did bail.
That whole cast is there even today.
And also,
when they brought it back. Shit.
Also, I'm going to say
Clooney's like never touching ER again.
I'm going to say Megan Mullally and Jack. Young George Clooney is dying in the first 10 seconds of this fight. They are going to tear him to pieces like a rotisserie chicken.
Yeah. That's, you know, because he is both of their types.
Yes. I think.
they see a new hunk. Oh my
take
God.
That,
rip his Caesar
pretty
haircut
boy!
Right off.
Yeah.
But you know, how many hunks
Caesar haircut.
How many hunks can they devour? Because you got Stamos coming in to ER.
But there's a second wave of hunks.
There is a second wave of hunks, and these are some of our country's greatest hunks.
These are
Noah
Stamos
Wiley?
And Clooney.
Wow, I can't honestly, we fought hunks with Deb DiGiovanni last episode, and we're gonna have to have words with her over forgetting to mention either Clooney or Stamos.
Yeah.
Elemental hunks. And also, I would say those two guys in the same room also generating some kind of a terrifying hunk energy. Can you imagine being in the same room? Can you imagine accidentally walking between John Stamos and George Clooney? All of your teeth would fall out.
Yeah, you would emerge hairless.
Here's the thing I think happens, which is that Deborah Messing goes in. She's got her insane, weird star power, Hillary 2016 energy, and she's garrote wiring people. But she can't tell the difference, much like I can't, between Maria Bello Maura Tierney, and what's her name? Linda Cardellini. Those are the same person to me, and she also thinks that and can't. She keeps being like, I killed you already.
Yeah,
like,
didn't I already beat you up?
Then Linda Cardellini takes her out.
And all those are very good, very good, very reliable actors too.
Fantastic actors.
They're always very
same
good.
Shape
so
in my head.
Is there a possibility for like these ER docs? I don't think they would do it though. I don't to be like, you know, tranquilizing, you know, using a little Xanax, slipping a hit him with a sedative,
doing a little clear, and then
across the room,
give him that shit.
Yeah, they're much better with weapons. I feel like the main weapon in Will and Grace is like somebody throws a wine glass.
Yeah, it's like feelings. And
ER's got drugs and
that's the problem. Is Will? Neither Will nor Grace are fighters.
They're all talk. I think all of them.
The attack dogs only do so much.
They talk a big game, and that is intimidating, no doubt.
It is.
But I think when the chips fall, is that the saying?
Yeah.
When the chips are down.
Yep.
Chips do.
When I'm eating chips, watching this fight, I think they. In action, it's going to be questionable.
Okay.
I'm ready to vote.
I'm ready to vote too. Go for it, Sam.
It's the heavy hitter. It's ER. It was there for the whole damn thing. It's got the biggest spine. And I do think it's like, if it had less star power, I think Will and Grace wins on sheer like telepathy and like cool moves and stuff. But it's like ER has like, just going through the cast list, it's like, oh God, these people were on for multiple seasons and they're like amazing. Like it is, it does go really deep. You forget Stamos finished off the series.
Truly.
And he's another sitcom heavyweight. I mean, he has his own entire star turn that just isn't on Thursday night. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he can blow into a conch shell and the Full House cast arrives.
yeah, imagine.
I just, here's the problem. I think you're right. The problem is you're right. I think at the end of the day, Karen and Jack can take wave after wave of Doctor down, but they can only take so many. And just by bulk alone, I think they're able to Zerg the Will and Grace cast out of a victory. I think ER would take it.
Mm-hmm. I have to co-sign with this. I think ER is too much of a behemoth.
It's too much of a behemoth. Let's say it on three. The winner is 1, 2, 3. ER takes it. Ding, ding, ding. Emergency room. I've heard it's
my favorite
about an
show,
emergency room. Have you ever seen the that Mitchell and Webb look?
Mm-hmm.
It's a British sketch show and really, really funny. And they do this sketch about hospital shows written by people who don't know anything about medicine. And so it shows like the writers talking about it. And then it shows the show and it's people running around like, oh no, I've used the electric improperly. And now he's poorly from too much electric.
Oh Lord.
Yeah.
Ding,
it's
ding,
very
ding.
Good.
Ding, ding, ding,
ding, ding. ER takes it. All right. Heavyweight. Fight Island, must see TV.
It had to be these two
competitors. Shout them out.
Seinfeld and Friends.
Seinfeld and Friends.
Seinfeld.
Gotta be.
From the depths of hell, I summon thee, Seinfeld and Friends. So the question before us, I mean, we don't even need to discuss it. This is the matchup. Who would win in a fight between the cast of Seinfeld and the cast of Friends? Now, the island is deadly silent for this one. This is eons in the making, I think.
Every single person in the world is tuned in. That is
every
the level of must see.
Right.
Person. Even like newborn babies are taken from their mothers and placed directly in front of a television. Yeah. Watch this.
Yeah. A baby is born mid fight and it is named Crazy Joe Davola.
Now, right out of the gate, the Seinfeld squad seems like a lock here. They're cool. They're calculated. They don't give a shit.
They're
about
mean.
Anyone but them. They're New Yorkers in the real sense of the word. You know, not this Friends bullshit. They don't work at museums.
Yeah, George lives with his parents. It sucks.
Yeah,
yeah.
They
will do whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. The other thing the Seinfeld cast will do, especially George, they will do whatever it takes to not have to work.
Oh boy, that's true.
That could be in their favor, or that could be an issue for them.
Boy, I think you're talking 60-40 on if George Costanza even shows up to this thing.
Yeah, right?
I can't do it, Jerry. I can't fight.
Like,
you can imagine George.
Now tear me apart, Jerry. Phoebe, she's terrifying.
George tries to get out of it.
George tries to get out of it. I've got a thing in my shoulder, right? He tries to get a note.
Yeah, he's doing something, and that something, but the thing is, knowing Seinfeld, he will try to get out of it, and then he will wind up there anyway, and it'll be in a really bad way. Like, it'll be worse than if he had just gone.
Yes, very much so. They'll find out that his shoulder injury is a fake, and they'll be like, get up here, George, you gotta come fight with us. And then climbing up into the ring, he'll actually hurt his shoulder and have to fight, you know?
Yeah, and then maybe hurt Jerry, too.
Like, yes.
I think him trying to get out of it probably fucks up the entire Seinfeld cast.
See, that is very true of the Seinfeld cast in general. The friends are always looking out for one another. The Seinfeld cast, they would sell their own mother for a good parking space, you know?
I think, weirdly, the Seinfeld cast, while not as... they don't inadvertently try to fuck up each other's stuff. Friends cast does have some infighting because they're more personal. I mean, like, you say Kramer says something offhand to the Gellers, and then they're suddenly at each other's throats. I think that could happen.
There's a lot of vulnerabilities in the Friends cast. You know, there's a lot of sensitivities.
There's also like intergroup fucking, like everyone's feelings are hurt. Mm-hmm. Where like Seinfeld's like, Jerry and Elaine tried that one time and it didn't matter. Yeah, and now they don't
Jerry's the alpha. He keeps the others in line. He's allowed to mate.
They have
like
a clear
movie,
leader.
Seinfeld versus Kong. Yeah,
but Seinfeld has a clear leader and a little bit of a hierarchy that they operate within. Whereas the Friends cast, you know, who is going to lead the charge here? Do they fight over that?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And the two best fighters are really flighty. Phoebe and Joey are probably the best fighters of the group. They're also the dumbest. What if they get tricked? What if Elaine tricks them?
I don't think you want to underestimate Monica. I think Monica has got that. She's got that little sister energy. You know,
she's got something to prove. You know,
purple nurple you into next week.
She fought with weight issues as a young woman.
Yeah.
So she's got something to prove, no doubt. Mm-hmm. Now, just if we're looking at the show as a show, Friends is the definitive must-see TV show. It was never not on Thursday night throughout its entire run. And also, save for the first season, it was always 8 p.m., the first show on must-see TV.
Sure.
Like
and boy, what a fucking
that's your rock. That's your anchor.
Friends is Friends is a phenomenon, as is Seinfeld. These are like the Beatles and the Stones of this era of TV. It went beyond simply being a TV show into like this is people's entire identities, relationships revolved around talking about Friends at the water cooler.
And
you know?
Still to this day, they're like the two most syndicated TV shows.
True.
Mm-hmm. Like Netflix, what Netflix bought, or was it HBO Max bought Friends at some absurd, there was like a bidding war because they know if you have Seinfeld or if you have Friends on your streaming platform, you are guaranteed to print money.
Guaranteed.
And those
25-year-old shows.
Those shows are from a long time ago. And so
no one has cell phones in those shows.
Yeah, all eyes on that shit, for sure. Guaranteed
I was reading a Vulture article about must-see TV, and the guy, the producer or whatever, the network exec that was like deciding the timeline, talks about how they had this like labor debate over Mad Men of the People versus Friends, what to put in that slot. And they went with Mad Men of the People for the first season of Friends.
What is Mad Men of the People?
It is a Dabney Coleman show where he is a newspaper columnist, which is like, it was weirdly like, I feel like there are a million sitcoms about a guy who wrote a column.
Truly.
If I'm not mistaken.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Also magazines. At some point, somebody like fucking cracked some weird math code where it was like,
that's what every TV writer thinks is a cool job.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
it's like what they do, but a little different.
Oh,
a little
different. It's like fucking how every Stephen King character is like, oh, he's a pretty rockin' writer who sometimes plays the guitar. And he's got a van.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Anyway.
But they're heavyweights, both of them. It's hard to compare.
The problem that I'm seeing.
Yes.
The problem that I'm seeing is, I think Joe hit the nail right on the head here. The Seinfeldians are going to get in one another's way. Fucking Kramer. He heard from somebody that if you like soak your hands in vinegar, it makes them harder and you can fight better. And then he shows up with like, my hands are all shriveled, Jerry. And they're like sore and he can't
wear
gloves.
It's the Frasier first problem. Yeah.
Yes. Jerry is, you know, where he's worried about germs. So he's afraid to punch anyone because of COVID or something.
Yeah.
And fucking Elaine is doing it. Elaine's in there. Elaine rushes in. Elaine thinks everyone's going to go. And she's like, let's go. And runs in alone. And they beat the shit out of her because nobody went with her.
Yeah, it's, but you know, I feel like some of those same vulnerabilities exist within Friends. Like, yeah, I think they're gonna come up with some harebrained schemes.
Yeah.
They're gonna get in each other's way. I also think the Friends cast are weak. Like they are fragile.
They are weak, mm-hmm. fragile people. They have jobs and beautiful apartments. They've never had to live with their parents.
Ross is crying all the time.
Yeah,
like
Ross's heart to meet Kramer. like he would shit his pants.
Oh, like, my God! You're very, someone who exists.
They seem very fearful. They seem like a very fearful folk.
Yeah, I do think that they are very much the house cats of this fight. You know, they are kept groomed people, whereas Seinfeld, you know, they're out in the woods fucking looking for vans and digging holes and shit. They know a guy called Crazy Joe Davola. They can get you free cable. You know, they're in the grid
of it. Their universe is filled with more scary people.
That is very, very true.
Yes. And they've had to adapt to that.
And I can see, I don't know why. I just think for that reason, it's going to make it all the more difficult for the Friends squad to come out of this scathed. I see them having like a happy ending. You know, Joey's winking at people in the audience. They have a big dinner. It always ends happy for them. Every episode ends happy.
Okay. Yeah, I'm ready to vote.
That's true.
I'm ready to vote.
I was feeling parabolic.
I'm saying Seinfeld, and here's my reasoning. I have two things. One is that Friends is often caught up in emotion and get more so as the series goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Seinfeld is less caught up in emotion and is just more tactical. And the thing I have said on the podcast a million times is like, I want the person not concerned with hurting anyone in the fight. I want the savage versus the emotionally intelligent
mm-hmm.
side. Secondly, Friends is kind of, it gets worse as time goes on, even if it's gradual. And like, Seinfeld Friends fans wouldn't say that. Through. Seinfeld gets better. Seasons 8 and 9 of Seinfeld are amazing. And I think Seinfeld finishes strong.
If I can piggyback on what Sam was saying,
please.
Not only does Friends get better, but Friends turns into something even worse. And that's a little show called Joey. which takes over the slot, the 8 p.m. slot.
Oh my God, digs up its Thursday night legacy.
It almost ruins the must-see TV legacy.
Joey did kind of crawl out of Friends.
And I just think that for those reasons, and also like, Friends are house cats. Seinfeld, they're fucking junkyard dogs. Like
junkyard dogs.
Seinfeld is gonna take it. Like they've seen shit. They're not affected by it. And also, like, we haven't really gotten into Kramer. Like, I know Kramer might fuck it up, but also mm-hmm. Kramer knows how to get an mm-hmm. unexpected win.
Sure,
and
he's a loose cannon.
Kramer's the scrappiest of all 10 people.
Yeah,
yeah, of anyone we've talked about today, like. I will always want Kramer on my side, and
truly.
So I'm picking Seinfeld on this one.
All right, Seinfeld. Sam, you say Seinfeld.
I say Seinfeld.
Guess what, boys? That's 3 for Seinfeld. Ding, ding, ding. These Friends. What are you doing? Stepping in the ring.
They're
with
friends.
Seinfeld.
They're not fighters. They're friends.
You guys are friends. You're here to learn and love.
Yeah, that's not the name. The name of their show is not about fighting. It's about quite the opposite.
Yeah,
it's
no
not
amount
called
of
Friends Island.
Not amount, no amount of dance around that fountain is gonna save you. You know, quit dancing around the fountain. I gotta get up to be at the morning comedy show.
Jordan's never seen an episode.
I gotta be up at 7:30 to be at the joke plant.
At 9 a.m. Why'd they do a show at 9 a.m.?
They want a show at 9 a.m. and we all have to be there.
Jerry! They've got a monkey, Jerry! I would like to see Marcel the monkey chasing Jerry Seinfeld across the screen, like, you know?
Yeah, you get one scene of that. It'd be pretty funny.
Runs in one side, out the other side. Hey, I got a monkey. Yeah. Joe, thank you so much for joining us, man.
Oh, absolutely. This was great. I feel like I was born to have this conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah. same. We feel the same, which is why we're also glad to have you back on the island. Where can the people find you out there in the internet?
Yeah, you know, people can follow me on Twitter at Joe K, Joe K, and on Instagram at Joe Kwa, J-O-E-K-W-A. I post my videos and stuff on there. Usually anything I've got going on, you can see there. I also have a podcast of my own about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which the inductees are going to be announced very soon. So it's an exciting time for that show. It's called Who Cares About the Rock Hall.
Nice. Absolutely. Go and check out all of Joe's stuff. Sam, how about you? Where are you still?
As always, just follow me on Twitter,
in the internet,
Sam Wiles, and at Sam Wiles on Instagram.
Me too. I'm Razor Lou all over the place. You know where to find us. We'll be on the internet because they won't let us leave. stay hydrated, get your shots. Until next time, I think that does it for this episode of Fight Island. Why don't you count us down there, Sam?
1, 2, 3.
All right, break it up. It's all over for Fight Island.